Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with a name you know, and I think you might know him because we've interviewed him, I think, 73 times in the past
That's
year.
True. That's
true. How you doing? It's Doc Gallows. What are you doing, man?
Hey, man. I'm doing great. I'm sitting here looking at Daytona Beach from the condo right now, getting ready. I don't know when you're going to drop this, but today is Tuesday, so we're getting ready to head up the road for this big episode of AEW Dynamite tomorrow. Machine Gun and I teaming up with the Best Bout Machine, Kenny Omega, taking on our friends, the Young Bucks, and apparently their friend, John Moxley. So I think that one's going to probably personally hurt us a lot more than it will them. But business has to be done. It's a huge wrestling week. Impact moving to Thursday nights, as you know, and you've reported on. Another huge trios match, Kenny Omega.
I had all this free time during the week, you know.
So. right.
So they're moving to Thursdays. I think it's a good move, though.
I think it was imperative. I think it's a great move. And, you know, when you look at it from a wrestling fan standpoint, which I know both you and I are, man, you can watch wrestling every night of the week, and that's all I really care about. And I think it's good. There's good quality wrestling out there. I mean, I'm a little biased toward this main event. Again, Kenny, Machine Gun, and I, this time against Eddie Edwards, Willie Mack, extremely underrated talent there, and of course, Impact World Champion Rich Swann. It's going to be a big one.
All kinds of good stuff. And that your week doesn't end there. You got Talking Shop Live April 9th. You can get tickets at the LWPG.com as well as at the door. And you guys are all over the place because Mondays we're seeing you on BTE, not catching kisses anymore, but we're seeing
you
on BTE.
No more. I got in trouble for that. So no more kisses, unfortunately. Yeah.
Now hear me out. AEW and Impact tell more intricate stories than WWE. Hear me out. I think there's a deeper story to Carl Anderson preventing you from catching a kiss. He's trying to help your love life here because we know now he is Cupid Carl Anderson. He got Charlotte and Andrade together.
I saw that today. Yes, and it's true.
He told me, he said, when I asked him, he said, that's the stupidest fucking story I've ever heard, is what he told me.
It's funny. He put it in our group chat this morning. How the fuck is this news? And I said, it's news, Daddy. Because I saw the picture and I went, why are we in the picture? And then I read the headline and popped shit out of me. So,
I mean, he's out there making relationships better. He's out improving the quality of life of others. And, you know, it's funny we're talking about Carl Anderson because I got a reader question. And it's from somebody whose initials are Carl A. from Cincinnati. He says,
what?
And he says, ask Gallows if he remembers the rumors of long bus rides in Japan, and when he'd get to the hotel, he'd be screaming at his cock, I'm going to beat the hell out of you, you little shit. I hope you're ready. And all the Japanese boys were looking at him like he's crazy. I don't know how this Carl A. would have this insight.
Well, that's true, too. I do live to pop the boys. And, man, when you're in Japan 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time, The only thing you can do for release is manual release. I don't have the
We're losing you a little bit. We're losing your connection a little bit here and there.
Okay. Can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I should step inside. I don't know.
Might help. I was okay. Losing you a couple times.
Let's do that. But yeah, no, it is true. I mean, manual release is a huge thing, and you need that on a Japanese tour. I mean, what else is a man to do?
You say that you live to pop the boys, but it seems like you're living to pop yourself.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to put yourself first. I am the king of the boys, right? Come on.
I mean, this is the benefits of us having Blue Chew and Manscaped sponsors for these things. They're like, please, more talking cock. Please, more.
Please talk. Please do the kids thing again. We'll re-up next month.
Have you all gotten any, I don't want to say heat, but anybody that's been like, that was too much? Like,
yeah, I've seen it on Twitter a little bit, and it probably isn't for everybody. But I mean, you know, you interviewed us going into Talking Shopomania. Sometimes our humor isn't for everybody. It's adult themed. We were big fans of the Attitude Era 90s stuff. It was all pushing the envelope. And it's all self-deprecating, though. So if you can't laugh at that, maybe get a better sense of humor. I don't know. It's not like I'm making fun of anybody else. It's making fun of myself.
And I mean, this stuff is usually like separate of Impact and AEW Dynamite. This is like programming. And like the BTE was established on a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of stuff like that, but
right.
some very funny stuff.
Well, I look at it like, you know, we've been calling the Talking Shop world the Ultraverse, because Sex Ferguson is not going to be a successful character on either Impact or AEW Dynamite, and nobody wants him on there. But he exists in his own little Ultraverse, in his own little world, and I have fun doing it, and the people who follow it, I think, have fun with it too, and that's really all that matters. It's all just entertainment. And you know me, just to lead into it, that's exactly what you're going to get this Friday, April the 9th at Riveters, hashtag Talking Shop Live Tampa. Get your tickets online at www.vlpwg.com or get them at the door. Riveters is a hell of a new place. It's an indoor-outdoor sports bar, big stage, next to the Odyssey 2001. Little known fact, the Shane Twins and Bam Neely running that strip club now. Popping me huge.
Really?
Yes. So it's brother-friendly. Right there at Riveters, they're all under the same banner right there. And it's fun, too. We're going to do our first ever live Talking Shop podcast with an audience. And we're going to do a variety show. You're going to see Sex, Chico, Too Bad in character at some point. You're going to be able to get photos with them and all that fun stuff. But I've been having a lot of fun. There's a lot of people from the wrestling world reaching out saying, hey, we want to come by and hang out. And we say the more guests, the merrier. Mosh and Thrasher, the Headbangers, I just saw at a signing. They're going to come. They're going to be hanging out, signing autographs. A bunch of my old Aces and Eights brethren that are around Tampa for the weekend are going to come out. We have some New Japan brothers. I don't want to drop the dime on anybody who doesn't want it announced, but we're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of people hanging out, drinking, partying, talking shop live, seeing the guys in their natural elements. So I hope everybody can join us for that. And I'm going to need a slowdown after these two massive six-man tag matches. I don't know how I'm going to be feeling when I get to Riveters, but, you know, it's Mania Week. Everybody's pumped up. The whole business will be in Tampa. We got a WrestleStock signing on Friday during the day, 12 to 6. Talking Shop Live, Tampa, Friday night, of course, 9:30 doors, 10 p.m. The show starts, and then we'll be doing a virtual signing for WrestleCon in the morning and then signing for WrestleCon for the rest of that day. And then I think I'm doing some kind of watch-along thing the Nasty Boys set me up with, which I don't even know how legit it's going to be, but I'm not missing an opportunity to party with the Nasty Boys.
You can't see it right now. You'll see it when the interview happens. Like, I have the frame for the interview, right? It is Nasty Boys inspired. Like, it's the paint splatter.
I love it.
I would go to this toy store up the road from my house, and I would always see the Nasty Boys stuff. And I wasn't big fans of theirs, but they always had the dopest shirts. Always.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
Even when they popped up in TNA and the Nasty IAM shirts, those were so cool, man.
When we left Japan and went back to WWE, I did paint splattered boots and pants, and it was Nasty Boys inspired, because I always loved that gear. I always thought it was cool. Yeah.
Oh, it looks so awesome. And like I said, I was never a big fan of theirs, but I see their like action figures on the shelf and I'm like, man, those are cool. And I don't think I appreciated them for what they were back then either. Like,
In the words of Brian Myers, my good pal, who I make fun of all the time for this, they're very toyetic looking characters with the mohawks and the hair and the shirts and the go-go boots with the chains on them. They were full-blown brothered out. I love it.
Wasn't it you that told me that, that when Myers came over for like Talk and Shop or something, he was up in your kid's room and he's like, hey, this is worth like $100. I'm going to sell it for you.
Come on, bro. What are you leaving this on the ground for? Like, your son broke the arm off his Dusty Rhodes. Worth $250, bro. Come on.
Oh, I love it.
Just losing his mind over it.
I love it. I interviewed him this week. He was my Monday interview there.
He's great. Yeah.
Great couple of guys there. And Cardona had Nasty Boys inspired gear at one point, too.
He did, yeah. I think we all had a round of Nasty Boys inspired gear at one point.
Jerry Sags, man, the paving the way is what he was there for.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. I love a good late night Brian Knobbs voicemail. Live to wake up to those things.
you mentioned some New Japan names are going to pop up at Talking Shop Live. I was very interested in that because we've seen Tama Tonga pretty pissy. And I mean, not just with you all. We've seen him upset with a guy who's friends with you guys, Enzo Amore, in the past, too.
He's be more pissy.
He's got a lot of anger. Like, how is this working out right now? Because you guys are not shy about using the term Bullet Club. First off, how the hell are y'all getting away with that? Two, is like, what's the situation? Like, do you talk to Tama Tonga at all?
Currently, no, I do not. And that's the truth. And I will say this on the issue. Machine Gun and I, as well as our other friends who've been roped into this, we love to make big moves and make big money. And if you don't want to jump on that train, then don't. Stay in the dust. Not my problem. So that's just how I feel about it.
So you're watching a lot of the inner workings. I mean, you're an integral part of this Impact AEW thing.
You mentioned long-term storytelling earlier. You got to wait for the story to play out.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I see it from a mile away. It's just, I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, can all these companies possibly come together to make it happen? And I still don't know.
That's the tricky part, even for us on the inside. Will they? Won't they? If they do, it's going to be cool as shit. We're still truthfully working all that out. You know, I mean, I want to go back to Japan badly, but they can't create new visas right now because of the pandemic. So like a lot of these plans that we had a year ago have been on hold for almost that long, because we're into April now. And I mean, that Black Friday or whatever they were calling it was April 15th of last year. It's hard to believe that's been a year. A lot has happened in that year. A lot of great shit has happened in that year. But there's a lot more to come, man. Like, you know, I know I promised that the first interview we did together post WWE, but it's still rolling, man.
Well, to be fair, I feel like I text Carl once a month and say, I wish you all would do something with your careers. Like, I wish you all would do something.
Fucking loser.
Because I usually try to interview people like once a year, they got something going on. There's so much stuff going on, especially with you guys, but it's in a period where really like almost nothing that would normally be going on is going on because of the pandemic. Yeah. So it creates a whole lot of different creative avenues.
It does. Everything's so strange and different. Everything's flying by the seat of its pants. Like all this stuff, WrestleMania week, we didn't know any of it was going to happen. It all came together last minute. And it seems like so much of this stuff is different because nobody in this business has dealt with or handled anything like this pandemic. It's affecting everything. And I think that the one thing that we've tried to do and done a decent job of is, you know, turn what could be perceived as a negative into a big positive. And I think there's been some cool professional wrestling stuff come out of that, which, you know, keeps the wheels moving, man. I think it's good for the entire business.
So obviously the Impact AEW stuff is such a hot topic. And I don't know that as long as I've been covering wrestling, there's something with so many moving parts. I wasn't around for Super Clash or any shit like that.
Sure.
When I see, okay, you're an Impact wrestler, obviously you got a good relationship with AEW, you're popping up over there, but Impact is also like doing stuff with New Japan. You got Chris Bey, who has been a fantastic representative there.
Excellent.
He told me how important that was to him for everybody to have the trust in him to do that. But then you got Juice Finn, whatever the hell they're called right now.
Right.
Robinson, who is a star. David Finley, who is a star popping up.
Yes.
Meanwhile, you got Rocky Romero bridging all these gaps, and he's off in Ring of Honor doing commentary. I don't know what the hell's going on with Ring of Honor and New Japan. Each company works with a different Mexican wrestling company right now.
Right. Oh, that boy, you talk about turmoil. How do you want to get into that one?
And meanwhile, you got MLW out here with Leo Rush pissing off Conan or something. And MLW has worked well with AEW in the past. It's like,
yeah. I don't remember a time like this. Like you said, since I've been in the business, for sure there hasn't been, you know? I mean, the only glimpse we had of something like this working was the failed WCW invasion angle, you know?
Briefly, Samoa Joe worked for like three places, and WWE was like, yeah. No, we're not letting you do it. We're going to sign you now.
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's nothing but positive. And like I said, like, the wheels keep turning. There's going to be more shit announced coming up all the way across the board and more integration. I think the more the better. I think it keeps surprising people. You're seeing matches that you wouldn't have seen in the past. You know, you see two guys in a ring together that it just looks different. I think that it's great, man. So it's a uniquely cool time for wrestling that we'll probably never see happen again.
So when you guys left WWE, how long did it take you guys to hammer out an Impact deal? Like, and did you all speak to like Ring of Honor? Did you all speak to AEW again, or were you like, we might have burned that AEW bridge?
Well, there was definitely some fence mending that had to happen there, and sure. It's been great. I'll say that. But I mean, Scott, in under 10 minutes, Scott D'Amore was like, "Hey, no, it sucks. Need to talk to you guys ASAP. Whenever you feel like it, call me." And it was like, hell, I talked to him that evening, you know? So like they were hot pursuit, to get that deal done. And they had to, you know, they had to put some stuff in there that isn't necessarily traditional. Like, we're creating content for that Impact Plus app, which has a lot of great stuff on it. It's got every pay-per-view in history. We got a new show that we're doing a pilot for over there. I don't want to get in trouble, 'cause last time I said something like this, I wasn't supposed to say it yet, but lots of great content over
Nobody's
there.
Nobody's watching this.
My promotion that I have in Georgia, where you get the tickets, Lariato Pro, those shows go up on Impact Plus. So we're doing a lot of fun stuff over there too. But yeah, Scott D'Amore, Don Callis, they were all over it, and they locked it in immediately. So that's why we're proud Impact flag bearers, so to speak, waving the flag, wearing the hat, doing the whole deal. And they've been cool enough to make and let this Impact AEW relationship happen, which I think is great for the exposure of everybody involved.
And I mean, when AEW came around, it changed a lot of things for a lot of companies, obviously.
It did.
But when their WWE lets this huge influx of really good talent out there, you got Gallows, Anderson, Deonna Purrazzo, who has been a force in Impact.
Right.
You've got so many of these people. I know that even Rachel Ellering worked the last set of Impact tapings. Like,
yep.
Like, she's popping up there. You see what Cardona and Myers can do when they're given time on TV. I thought Eric Young had one of the best creative stories of the year.
Oh, my
year.
Goodness. It was phenomenal. He really did. And like, it's like people almost forgot how talented that guy was until he got back into his bearings where they would let him run the ball. And when he did, I mean, you can't beat him with a stick. He's the best. It's great.
He's one of those guys that's so versatile.
He can do anything.
Yeah, he can do anything. He can play crazy. He can play serious. He can play funny. Do you think that sometimes that versatility can work against you in WWE? Because it seems like,
yeah,
it seems like it does for a lot of people.
I do. I think that they never really took us seriously because we have that other side of our personalities that isn't necessarily serious. But I also thought, you know, when we turn it up, we're just about as intense as anybody out there. But I think that when you get pegged that certain way, you're looked at as goofy or comedy or whatever, you know. And I remember we were doing some kind of a serious angle, and then there was a top guy there we hadn't worked with a lot. He goes, "No silly bullshit tonight. This is serious." And I'm like,
"Who was it?"
Obviously this isn't, we're not doing a ball sack skit right now. We're taking it seriously. I'm not going to go out there and make dick jokes.
Who was it? Bury him. Who was
no,
it?
Who was no, it? This isn't a burial interview today. I'll text it to you later.
Okay. That's what I like. That's what I like to hear. So like when I see stuff like that, the way that I've always looked at tag team wrestling, and I'm so confused as why WWE doesn't embrace it more, I feel like everybody that's a wrestling fan can relate to wanting to achieve something with their best friend, their brother,
yep,
even their sister, their brother or father, mother at this point, because
camaraderie. Yeah.
Almost everybody can relate to that, unless unfortunately they don't have any friends or loved ones. That would kind of suck.
But that would suck.
it seems like a very relatable thing. And when you have two people, for example, you and Carl, it's very easy to play off somebody and show your personality that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what's been nice about, you know, going back to Impact is they'll go, we want you guys to talk about this. And here's how long we want you to talk about it for. And I think that the character stuff, the promo stuff, like between what we're doing on Impact, even some of the less outlandish stuff on BTE, that's us being us. And I think that's the most entertaining form of Gallows and Anderson that you're going to get is when we're not scripted and we can be ourselves more. So,
yeah. So you all popped up in AEW. I want to know, like, how did the conversation even first get brought up to you?
We just were like, wait, this is really going to happen? Hold on.
Who's the person you that know? Tells you?
Well, we've been talking to the Bucks a lot. Mm-hmm. We talk to the Bucks constantly. We're buddies. And then when D'Amore brought it up, I was like, oh, wow, I think this is really going to happen. And then I didn't realize how intricate this went and how deep it went with Don and Kenny had been talking about this for a year, which nobody really knew about that. And I just think it makes the story even cooler. And hopefully long term, there's going to be a lot more layers to it. But like the behind the scenes part of it, you hear something like that and you go, wow, that's cool as shit, but I don't think it'll actually happen. And then it did. And it was pretty damn cool. And it continues to be, I think.
In like September, before Kylie Rae left, I was being told some stuff. They're like, don't be surprised. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I was like, can't happen. And then like 3 weeks later, they're flying a bunch of people back into Nashville to do like tapes on the bus. And I'm like, this is really going to happen.
That's exactly how we were. I was like, wait, why are we coming back to Nashville? Oh, really? Perfect. Great. Yes. Okay.
I thought that was really creative how they put that together because when I would talk to Impact wrestlers, they're like, oh, they didn't tell us anything. And I was like, well, they didn't tell anybody anything. I don't think it was them trying to kayfabe everybody.
It was just there was a small circle of us who knew about all of it. And again, like when we went to Nashville to film that first time, it was only the guys you saw in those segments that were even there. It was an empty studio other than that. So all the people, you know, all the Impact wrestlers and stuff had already gone home from the tapings and we went back in to do it. So I just think that not a lot of people knew about it, which gave it a cool element of surprise as well.
So, I mean, maybe I'm out of line asking this. You getting an AEW check too?
You never know.
I was trying to get that little scoop. You know who wants that
scoop more than any fan in the world? All the boys.
Carl, because you're getting two and he's still getting one.
Right. I just take his.
Fantastic. I did wonder because I mean it's like okay, well you guys are doing an awful lot of traveling. You all are. I remember you all saying Impact offered you the same deal they offered you when you guys were impending free agents.
They did, which was highly, highly impressive to us and rightfully so. Right. So, yeah, now we're Impact guys all the way. And, you know, to go a little bit more into that, hopefully this thing plays out for, you know, as long as it can. And it's good and it's entertaining and we can keep it going. But, you know, when the time comes, we're Impact guys and we'll be back there like we are each and every set of taping. So, you know. Just keeps on rolling, man.
So I'm interested in a lot of things in relation to Impact and AEW because you guys worked with Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. Ethan mm-hmm. Page has left Impact. He has went to AEW now. I'm assuming you guys have exchanged pleasantries since you've been there.
Yeah. I think he's getting used to it. He's getting his feet wet. It's a different environment for him coming from Impact. Where he knew everybody and was comfortable with everybody. But I think that Ethan Page is a star. He's just got to step into his own form over at AEW and kind of show everybody there what people saw in him at Impact. I think he's a versatile character that can do all kinds of things. I've worked with him enough to know that he's damn good in the ring, but he's highly entertaining. And the other thing about him that I love when I see with anybody is he's highly motivated.
Yeah.
From all the vlogging and the pushing himself and getting yourself out there. And I know I'm guilty of it. Sometimes we're guilty of over pushing ourselves down people's throats, but like a guy like that, who's coming up, I think it's a great thing for him to, you know, if you want it, you got to go out and grab it and try to take it as best you can. And I see him doing that. So I think it's probably going to be good for him.
Better to have too much ambition than not any at all. Right.
100%. 100%, especially in a business like this where you can be forgotten in 2 seconds. So yeah, you got to come up with something else.
I mean, I spoke to him when he left. We did an interview that didn't end up releasing, and he wasn't sure what his next move was going to be, but it wasn't going to be for lack of putting the work in. That's for damn sure. Like,
no.
If he didn't end up in AEW, it wouldn't have been because he didn't work hard to get there, because he did everything he could.
He was going to land somewhere for sure. So, and I think Josh Alexander's another great piece of talent you know, maybe now he's going to have an opportunity to shine as a single star where you didn't see that necessarily before, because that guy's a wrestling machine. I was watching him and Carl just put on a clinic a few sets of tapings ago. And it's fun to watch it as a fan. It really is.
So one of our favorite things on the AEW post show to bring up is the fact that you bump like crazy for Rey Fénix, which I mentioned to you. it's like the best, because Rey is one of the greatest performers in the world. And
I will say, I think that he could, if he's, I don't know who said this or hasn't said it, but I think he's an X-Ray Mysterio. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's really is. Unreal. How has that been, like, because I'm sure there's a bit of a language barrier there as well, like, do you get any feedback from him or other people? Because you are making him look like $1 million, as if he needed any help to look like $1 million.
It's been fun for me because I'd watch those guys. And I, you know, like I've said before, I'm a fan. So I don't always know what's going on as much as I used to, because real life gets busy. But like, I've been watching those guys forever, and I thought they looked really fun to work with. And I always, you know, years ago when I was getting to work with Rey Mysterio a good bit doing the stuff with Punk, I really enjoyed that. Like a great luchador like that with a story with a big guy like me, you can do some really fun stuff. And I think those guys are great. I had a great time working with them, and I hope that there's more of that down the line for sure. So yeah,
the contrasting styles.
Those brothers
really
are talented as shit. Yeah, it does. It does. It comes off good. And then, you know, we're in there hammering the shit out of them when they're not flying on us. So I think it works.
Another team you guys have been working with a lot lately, David Finley, Juice Robinson. Yep. Did it surprise you to hear that they were coming over? Because, I mean, that is a big step. Chris Bay being in the tournament, that's one thing. That's New Japan strong.
Of course it didn't surprise me. I was part of the hand on the wheel, brother. No, I thought it was great. And, you know, you got to remember, when I left Japan, I've known Finley since he was a small kid. You know, I mean, Fit and Mel live in Georgia, not far from me. We've always been very friendly. Fit helped me a lot young in my career early on. And then I tried to help David as much as I could, not that he needed it, when he came to Japan as a young boy, because he doesn't know everybody. And we would take him out to our sponsors and let him hang out and eat with us and hang out. And he was a great kid, but he was in that young boy role. And Juice came over from NXT. He already had some name value, but he was still in kind of that young boy role. So seeing those guys, and we played it up on TV, but it was real. I was pumped to see them come into their own. Like, I think that Finley's improved his look, his style. Like, they're stars now, man. And it comes across on television, both of them. They're a great team, great young team, athletic, good in the ring, entertaining. It was fun to see them on the American TV side of things, where they're getting to do some more backstage stuff and to show some character stuff. I think that's great for them. So, I think that's a team that I would like for Chad and I to do, Carl and I to do a lot more stuff with going down the road.
I remember when Juice popped up in Ring of Honor a couple years ago when AEW first started, and I was like, oh, that's giant for Ring of Honor. A lot of people didn't know that it was, and unfortunately it didn't work, but he's just so magnetic. And it's one of those examples of the WWE system works for a lot of people, but it doesn't work for everybody.
It does not. And he's one of those guys that would have been a star that wrestling missed out on had he not left, because he would have stayed in, I feel like, that same role that he was obviously unhappy in to walk away from. Bet on himself. You got to love that. Goes to New Japan and comes into his own. But I mean, he's a guy that's built to be an American TV star. He really is. So I think it's cool to have them, you know, doing that crossover stuff, because it's great for Impact, but it's also really great for those guys.
Speaking of people who look like they're made to be a TV star, Big Cass popped up at one of your shows.
And yeah, buddy, boy, brought him back.
Lariato Pro, he looked like $1 million. Boy, did he look great. And I reached out to you about it. I could tell how proud you were of him. And it seems like he's come a long way. How has he been? And how was the process of even getting that to happen? Because he had been out for a while.
He and I I've stayed in touch with him, with everything that was going on with him, as my alarm goes off again for the 15th time. I've been in touch with him, checking in on him and stuff like that over time. because he's a young guy. He's a big talented guy. And he just got in a little over his head in that system. I think it was a little bit much for him to handle. So he needed to focus on his recovery and all that, which he did a great job of. And I just said, listen, there's always an open door with me. There's never going to be any pressure here. Come hang out at one of my shows, see what you think. And one day, 3 months ago, he came down to my house in Atlanta. He had been in town doing some DDPY stuff. And he came down to the house and we grilled out and we hung out. And I said, hey, man, if you get the bug, it's out there. You look great. And then I got a random text from him maybe 3 weeks later saying, I'd really like to come to one of your shows and see if I still love doing this. And I said, the promoter in me thought, damn it, I want to announce him to sell more tickets. But yeah, he wanted to be a surprise and do it. And it was great. The huge reaction for him, looked amazing, did wonderful. The 26th and 27th of March, I did a double shot weekend in North Georgia and South Georgia. We had him back. People love seeing him, line wrapped around the building for him. So it was really positive. And I think that it was a good way for him to step back into it, get his feet wet, not have a lot of pressure. I put him with guys that were, I knew would be good for him in that role, but I was just so proud of him, man, because for him to step out of wrestling and never come back in his young 30s like that, because he took a misstep, would have been a real shame. So I'm happy for him and I'm proud of him and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Did he seem like he wanted to do more?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's good. And I mean, yeah. I obviously you're bridging a lot of gaps. If you had anybody from AEW Impact be like, hey, what do you think? Would he be a suit here?
I have touted him to all my friends in the higher places that make those decisions, because you can't see the guy and not ask the question.
Sure.
I mean, he's almost 7 feet tall. He's got 6-pack abs. He's a good looking kid. Like, so it's out there. Well, he's got to land somewhere if he wants to do it, whether it be back to WWE, which I don't know if that door is fully closed, or an AEW or an Impact, or hell, even Japan, a guy like with size like that, you know, that could really benefit him too. So I don't know where it'll be, but I think it has to happen for sure.
I mean, it seemed like ROH, I mean, obviously ROH was interested at what would be considered their most problematic time. So I would imagine,
right,
since, I mean, I don't hear bad things about Enzo anymore. I don't hear bad things about Cass anymore. It seems to be like, seems like you guys deal with them pretty easily. Like, you all don't have any issues with dealing with them.
Yeah, no, we never did. You know, they came out of NXT and that was the only place that they'd ever been before. So they had a mentality to them, but once you got them in there and reeled them in a little bit, like, we had fun working with them and they were over. They were a hot act in that, you know, I remember when we first came back and it was like us and AJ, and I think we worked them and Cena on a pay-per-view. And like at the time, I mean, there were Enzo and Cash shirts everywhere. Everybody knew the saying. They were a hot act. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if, will they pop back up as a team somewhere? I don't know. Will they do single stuff? Is Enzo going to become a rapper? We never know. So he's a bit of a wild card.
Got a couple more before we wrap up. Maybe you've mentioned this somewhere before, but there's Impact tapings you weren't at. Where were you? Mm-hmm.
I was under the weather, brother.
Okay.
But,
never mind.
But I'm fully vaccinated now, so okay. I'm good to go.
I was like, what's he doing? What's he up to? I just assumed you were immune to begin with.
I should be. Well, the things that have gone through this body, but no, I was working on a TV show thing that I'm doing that I can't say anything about yet. And then I got sick and it just knocked me on my ass. And it was terrible timing because we were starting up all the AEW Impact stuff, but things were able to get moved around and it ended up working out okay.
Well, I wasn't even fishing for the sick thing because I had heard it was a TV thing.
Well, it was, I kind of played it off. Now that it's passed, I can say that I had COVID, but it was right around when we were shooting all that TV stuff. But luckily it wrapped. Then I got it. So I didn't have to miss out on the end of the shooting and stuff like that. So that was cool. It sucked missing the tapings because, and you know, the thing with Impact too, is the schedule's great for the boys. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, you're there a few days a month. If you miss a month, you feel like you haven't been to work in 3 months.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, this sucks. But you know, better now, all vaccinated. We're good to go.
And Impact is on more of a regular schedule now. For a while, it seemed like every 7-8 weeks. Now it's almost every 5 weeks. I mean, you all will have been there every month once Rebellion hits.
Yeah, yeah. And it's happening more that we're there every month. And then with the extra content stuff, like we just did that badass movie night with the Good Brothers you know, a month or two ago. There's going to be more stuff like that you're seeing. They're doing these wrestle weeks wrapped around these big pay-per-views. So there's more content they have to get shot. So it, you know, it's not a bad thing to be there and to be on TV. I don't mind that at all. And Nashville's a great city. I can't wait till it opens back up because we've had a lot of damn fun there. So.
My wife has never been to Nashville, and I told her.
Oh, this, you got to bring her. Yeah.
This summer, once I'm vaccinated in a few weeks, we're going to go to Nashville. Mm-hmm. Gonna hit up Impact PR and be like, hey, listen, I'm vaccinated. Let me get some of those interviews in person at a taping.
Oh, I think it'd be great. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to do that. So, I haven't asked a lot of WWE stuff. One thing I've always wondered, I think you did an interview with Sam Roberts and he asked about the Festus thing and you said Vince didn't know. Did he ever find out?
So that was like, this is a funny thing to say, but we always had a good relationship with Mark Carano. And I just remember we were in Gorilla one time and he was ribbing us before we went out and he's like, I'm going to tell Vince you're Festus and he's going to fire you again. And I was like, thanks, Dix. But I don't know. I would assume he didn't know. And I don't think that he ever probably did because why would he? Right.
Yeah.
Like at the time he knew that Festus turned into Luke Gallows, but I don't think he remembered that, you know, 7-8 years later. Why
but
would
I mean,
he? Like
yeah.
so many people come and go through there that it just, you know,
I
always
get asked. Society was so big though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a shame that ended in the fashion that it did, but, I thought that had a lot of legs too, but Festus, I always get asked, were you embarrassed? How did you, well, I mean, of course I wanted to be a long haired wrestler with a sweet robe on, but you're also 23 years old buying a house because you get to play this wrestling character on TV. So I wasn't embarrassed about it. I was glad I was getting to do something, you know?
I think it was Kevin Thorne's house I went to and I was like, oh, so that Mordecai thing worked out all right for him in the end.
Right. Yeah, say what you want.
Yeah, I drove into his neighborhood and it was all beautiful houses. I was like, I think he did all right.
Yeah, it worked out for the brother. He's actually killing it now in real estate too.
He sure
he's knocking
is.
Down, knocking down like wrestling money doing that. So yeah. I'm happy for that guy. Yeah.
Real
he's
nice.
He's a talking Shop-a-Mania star.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually interviewed him with his sign, his real estate sign in the background.
Yeah.
I was like, well played. We had mentioned Straight Edge Society. Serena is now in AEW and
she is. I'm proud of her too, man. She's doing great.
Seeing the way that woman works in the ring, it's like you took how long off?
It's crazy because she was talent. She was a talented wrestler then when we did Straight Edge, and it just kind of got lost in the shuffle because she was the girl with her head shaved and all that. But I mean, she could always go. I first saw her in OVW whenever we'd gotten called up to do Jesse and Festus, and they moved everybody to Florida that wasn't getting called up to TV. So we had to go to OVW. And that was the first time I had seen her, but she was like leading all the girls then, like working with them and putting time in the longer matches and stuff and kind of teaching them in the ring in front of the audience and stuff. She's always been highly talented. So I think it's cool that she has an opportunity now to showcase it on TNT. It's great.
I think she's got maybe the best boot game in wrestling. Her boots
always
looking good.
On point.
They
on
always,
point.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They always look great. So
everybody's stepping up that gear game now. You know, everybody's got a different look. It's going good. Yeah.
So obviously a big week, as we mentioned. By the time people see this, they'll have seen you on AEW. But Impact Wrestling debuts Thursdays.
Yes.
That's a big move. Friday. It is Friday. You're talking Chop of Mania or you're talking Chop Live, correct?
Talking Chop Friday. Live at Riveters in Tampa, brother. Of course, as the alarm goes off the 17th time. Yeah. Talking Shop Live, Riveters in Tampa, all part of Mania Week, 9:30 doors, 10 p.m. show, live podcast, variety show, mystery guests out the wazoo, Sex Ferguson, Chico El Luchador, Chad Too Bad, along with the Machine Gun, Rocky Romero, and the Big LG. We'll all be in the house. We're going to be partying. We're going to be hanging out all night long. So come and hang out and enjoy it with us. I guarantee if you go to any of these Mania events, you're going to see all kinds of great stars, have a lot of fun, but not like this.
I hope
everybody comes out and parties with us. You can get your tickets online at thelpwg.com, or you can get them at the door at Riveters in Tampa. It's just a few blocks away from the stadium. So if you're in town for the wrestling festivities, make sure you hit us up, hit up WrestleStock, hit up WrestleCon. We're all over town. We'll be hanging out, but Talking Shop Live is the place to be.
Yes, it is thelpwg.com, not thelwpg.com, which I have up on the screen right
now. I didn't
now.
Want to correct you on your own show. I was just saying it over you.
You know what? I'd rather them do that than go to the wrong place. So, guys, check it out. I mean, I know you're entertained. Every time we do an interview, people are like, when you having him back? When you having him back? It's like, well, they got to do something to facilitate it. And Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson don't do anything.
I'm just glad they like listening to my bullshit. So it's always fun to talk to you. We were talking about it before we came on here. And you hit record. But, you know, we do a lot of these kind of interviews to promote a lot of stuff. You're one of the brothers that we do enjoy talking to. So it's never a burden. And always appreciate the time.
Well, hey, whenever you guys fall out with Impact and you leave them, don't give the interview to Ryan Satin. Have me on the show. Come
on
now.
Let's do it. I think he's a Fed guy now anyway.
He is.
Couldn't have him.
See, yeah. he turned we're full on blown, you. There's no we're, loyalty we're full, here.
We're full-blown Sean Ross Sapp guys now.
There we go. Eat it, Satin. Until next
That's
time,
That's right,
guys.
Satin.
Until next time, guys. We're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.